I am so blessed that we have her, and I'm so grateful that I've got to sit under her ministry, and the things that I've gleaned from her have completely changed my life, and I know that's true with you too. And so a lot of what I'm going to say tonight isn't things that you don't know, maybe just out of a different mouth, but a lot of it's probably stuff that you know. However, when I was studying it, it was afresh to me, so I pray that it's afresh to you too. And one of the things that I've kind of been on a trail of, if you're a member of the Thermostats, is original intent. And it's been a trail of mine because we see it happening. We see it happening on the truth of what's happening in the news and on the truth of what's happening with some of our judicial systems and that kind of thing, which led me some trails in some other areas. And so one of the things we see is that the fake news won't tell you this, but there are several judges and justices that are going back to the original intent of laws created. They're going back to the original intent of the Constitution and what it meant at the time when it was developed. And they're going back to the truth of what it started as. And they're going back to find the true intentions, which is what we want them to do, of what our nation was founded on in order to develop who they are and the potential that comes from that, rather than just taking opinions or feelings and making their decisions based on that. And so I fully believe that your greatest potential, a person's greatest potential, or the greatest potential available from something, comes from looking at the original intent. If you look at a piece of artwork and you have no idea what stemmed that piece of artwork, you can gather an interpretation from it. But when you know the heart of the artist who created that artwork, it begins to unveil a new picture for you. It begins to show you a story. When you read someone's story and you understand where they were coming from when they wrote the story, or where they were coming from when they wrote the poetry, or where they were coming from when they created something, you begin to unravel or break out different parts and details of what's available to you. And so it's so important for us to understand and know the original intent of who we are and where we've come from the heart of our Creator. Amen? And so this morning on Thermostats, I began talking about how the Lord showed me about heavenly design. Hopefully I don't swallow too loud. It's things that have happened in the past, you know. God isn't nervous. Hallelujah. So this morning on Thermostats, I began talking about heavenly design. And just open and honestly, we've been walking through some stuff with Kendall, my oldest child, and the Lord was ministering to me, and he was showing me some things because not that it's the right thing to do, but I was having some motherly moments where I thought I was going to try and figure some stuff out when it should have been God's job to figure stuff out. And so I went to him as my best friend, and I said, Lord, I need help. I know what I'm doing is not right, and I need your help with how I am supposed to fix this. And so in speaking to him, he began to show me the heavenly design that was created. And he told me, and it was so fast, I did not realize that I had got all of this in the brief thought that I had of it, but he told me that every heavenly design has a blueprint, and the blueprint in heaven far outweighs what's here on the earth. And when he said it, that was that fast, and it went like that. Well, what he was showing me was every design that was created in heaven far supersedes anything that was in the earth. When you were created in heaven, he created you with a purpose. He created you with a calling, and he created your body completely whole, without any defect, and he created you with complete shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. Your blueprint in heaven shows you in the fullness of what that is. And I can confirm that with scripture by Psalms 139. Psalms 139 says that he created a derrick for your life, that there is a very book that is written for you about your life. And that book tells all that you're supposed to do and is available to the host of heaven so they can assist you with that call. So in that book, it tells you, or it tells them, who you were called to be, And it tells them what you need to fulfill that calling. So that blueprint and that design is always available for you to find a way back to. That blueprint and design always will supersede anything that's happened in the natural. What God has done cannot be undone by what we do here. He can always right the ship. He can always bring you back to the plan, and he can always bring you back to the design he had for you. Because his realm of life can always penetrate this realm in the earth. Amen? So I want to talk to you about, may as well just carry these with me. I want to talk to you today about that heavenly design, and the only way to get the original intent is to start at the beginning. So we aren't going to go on an individual search today as much as we're going to go on to mankind as a whole. So Genesis 1:26 is where we're going to start. And it said, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beast, and over all of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources, I really like this, in the service of God and man. Every vast resource available to you for the kingdom of God and to be a blessing to mankind. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. So we know that that's the initiation of the original design of man. I want to read you one more scripture, though. In Genesis 2:7, it tells us how God formed man. And it says, the Lord God, Yahweh. This is the this chapter 2 is the first place Yahweh was used. In chapter 1, we're talking completely about Elohim, the creator. And we're talking about his creative ability and what he created. We have switched to another topic because we are now talking about the Lord God Yahweh forming man, and now we are talking about heavenly government. Now we're talking about God's way of doing things and getting things done. So the Lord God Yahweh formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being. Adam, mankind, was created to be a king over all the earth. They were created to rule and reign in the realm of life in all the earth. I fully believe when God said, light be, the realm of life infiltrated this earth, and God had a plan. He said, Zoe, be. Eternal life, be. Why? Because the light and life of the Zoe life of God. It is the God kind of life, and access was given at that moment. So it's important that we know this because God is an eternal being. I believe and will submit to you, God is a circular being. His beginning is his end. Because the word says, right, he is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So God's beginning, I'm going to say often. I would lean towards always, but I'll say often. Looks like the end. God's beginning looks like his end. The original intent of man was established in the garden. Man was created to rule and reign in the realm of life. The man was not created to have a glorified life in heaven alone. If the beginning truly establishes the end, we can see that God created man to live glorified on earth, not when we get to heaven. (laughs) I'm going to try to not preach too fast, just to hold it down. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the words to speak. I thank you for hearts to receive. Father, I thank you that you think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. Father, I thank you that every word that comes out of my mouth is aligned with your flow, your power, and your purpose this evening. Father, I thank you that I clearly hear your voice and know exactly what to say at each moment as I deliver this word that you've given to me. Not only were we created to rule and reign, but we were created to be as close to God as he could make us. Amen. Psalms 8 says he made us a little lower than Elohim. A little lower than the Creator. That word little is like small, little, tiny, a bit. He got as close as he possibly could on purpose. Yahweh, the God of the harvest, set Adam into the garden in chapter 2 and began to teach him the principle of the kingdom. The principle is seed time and harvest. And man was created to govern the earth that Elohim had created and to do so through the law of seed time and harvest. If you look throughout the entire Bible, this is a side note that's not in here, you'll see seed time and harvest is taking place. When you see the word Yahweh throughout the Bible, and you see the word Lord throughout the Old Testament, you see that a harvest is coming to seed that was sown. It's very important that we recognize that after the garden, there was a fall of man that changed how we reaped. Our seed became corruptible. And the harvest we received required a change of our heart based on to Yahweh. We see that in Jonah when he repented. We see that in several other places where they repent. And they get their heart right with God, the seed changes. But if not, seed time and harvest takes place. I'm going to leave that right there. That's not what I'm preaching on. So mankind was created to function like God through his spirit, his soul, and body in the realm of God, the realm of life. So we're going to go through each of these three parts, and I'm going to move as quickly as I can. Glory to God. And so the first place we're going to go is the spirit. In each one of these places, I want you to look at the original intent, and then I want you to look at what is available to us now, because that's what we're focused on, right? We know that as we look at the original intent of our Creator, as we look at the original intent of who he called us to be, what is available to us and the details that are available to us. So, for our spirit, the original intent, the spirit of God was breathed into mankind. That's what the word told us, right? Who was formed as a masterpiece by God himself. Not only by words, like everything else, but it says he formed him as with Play-Doh. That's what it tells us. I believe it's Psalms 139. He literally formed his body out of the work of his hands. I know I've told you all this before, but it's one of the most beautiful pictures to me, and it wasn't even my vision. Kim Walker Smith told about a vision she had of God reaching on the inside of him and grabbing from his very own heart, pulling out what appeared to be Play-Doh and forming her out of that place. It was an intimate thing when God created you. He took from himself and he took time to construct and to create you. It wasn't just another animal that walked. It wasn't just another plant. It wasn't just another piece of creation. It was a skillful masterpiece when he planned and created you. And he did that of you as an entire being, spirit, soul, and body. God has made us as near like himself as it is possible for God to make a being. He made you in his image and his likeness. Pastor told us on Sunday that the Spirit of God is his own substance. So when he created you, he took of himself and created you. And he got as close as he possibly could to his representation, to who he was, to his image. Some people even say that it's like a mirror image when you translate it out of the Hebrew. And when God breathed into mankind, the breath of God was the transmission of the living substance and being of himself into your being. The very breath of God into your lungs, both at the point in the garden when the Spirit of God was breathed into mankind and when the Holy Spirit was released again into the earth. When you received the Holy Spirit, the same substance that was breathed into Adam was breathed into your very being. The original intent of how we were to operate was Adam before the fall. Jesus believed that his very life was worthy of the gift that would come by his death. And that gift was the Holy Spirit. He says this in John 16, that it's good for me to go because he is coming. Well, at that point, what sense would it make for the one thing that has changed everything to go? The opportunity that man again would be able to live in God's substance. For a spirit-filled believer to ever use the, well, I'm only human excuse, is an insult to the price Jesus paid and what he did to restore your status to be like him. Your spirit man became exactly like him the moment you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I believe that when you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you began to operate, if you should choose, just like Adam did in the garden. Right. You must identify yourself with the Redeemer who is right now. We look to our Redeemer Jesus as of what he's done for us and what we've received. But we must now look at him as who he is, as he sits as the overcomer, the victorious one, the king who sits on the throne. Amen? You are as he is in this world, not as he was when he was here. You see, we are more than overcomers. We are more than conquerors. We are super victorious because he's already done it. He's already paid it. He's already defeated it. He already took it. It would be, we've heard Bill Johnson say this, it would be impressive for God to come as God and do the things he did. But when God came as a baby, as a man, he began to show you what you were able to do in this earth. And so it was amazing to see Jesus do those things. But when you think about the things Paul did after he had ascended to heaven and reinstated the Spirit of God to man, now you're beginning to see a change. Paul had an experience with Jesus. He had an experience with Jesus to change his life. It wasn't because he was one of the 12 who walked with him. He had an experience with Jesus. He received salvation. He received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he began to operate as a God-man in this earth. That's who you're called to be. When God breathed his very being into Adam and then into you, it was to establish a likeness to him. You are created on terms of equality with God. I know I'm getting on. If you got any religious bone in your body, I'm about to jump on it. So just. That you could stand in the presence of God without any consciousness of inferiority. The word says Adam walked in the cool of the day, fellowshipping with God. This was his heart. His heart was to have you as a friend. He created you that you would be not feel inferior when you come into his presence. He created you so you would feel like an equal to him. So you would be able to walk in the same way, in the same place, in the same footsteps that Jesus walked. Does that mean he's not greater than you? Oh, baby, he's greater than you. He's the creator. The creator will always supersede the creation, okay? However, his heart was that you would feel like an equal to him. His heart was that you wouldn't feel inferior when you spent time with him, because he wanted you to be his friend. He wanted you to be his partner. He wanted to be in business with you. If you create a partnership with someone, there's multiple ways you can do it. One is where there's a big guy and a little guy, and one where there's a partnership. He is the big guy and we are the little guy. There's no question about that. But he wanted it to feel like an equal partnership where your role is just as important as my role. I created you to be like me. Follow me and let's walk it out together. That's who he wanted you to be. He wanted you to feel like an equal to him. Jesus said himself, right, he found it not robbery. Yes. Why? Because he knew what we were called to. He knew our original intent. He knew who we were called to be. It said that Jesus and Father and Holy Spirit formed man in their image and likeness. He knew. Okay, I need to get moving here. I have two more points. Glory to God. So that does not mean that we do not revere or honor God. Do not twist my arms or my words. Glory to God. I'm getting excited. You honor God first, foremost. There is no one before him. He is the Almighty. And because he's the Almighty, because he's the shepherd, because he's the best friend, he created you to want to be his friend. We're going to talk about your soul next. Glory to God. God created your soul to be like his. Amen. The original intent for God's purpose in creation of mankind was to develop an association on his own plane. God created mankind to operate in the earth by revelation. Pastor has been telling us this for weeks and weeks and weeks. Again, I'm not telling you something she hasn't said, but we need to grasp a hold of this. We were created to walk by revelation. We were not created to only live in our natural reason. We weren't created to only walk in what we could think of and come about. It says we were called to walk by the leading of the Spirit. You walk by the leading of the Spirit by following the revelation God is giving you step after step after step after step. You don't have to know 15 steps ahead of you. You need to know what you're doing next. And you know what you're doing next by revelation. Amen? So our mind was created to be totally fed through our spirit and then cause the outpouring of godly wisdom into the earth. God created a word, and he gave us the greatest gift, the Holy Spirit, to feed our spirit man, that it would speak to our mind and our body will then respond. You weren't created to have a lesser than mind. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. It says, "For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh?" The government official, the one who constructs the kingdom and makes sure kingdom business takes place. Well enough to be his counselor, his friend, his partner. Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions. You have the ability to perceive every step of your day through Christ. You have the ability to see what he sees and walk out. Some scriptures say the mind of Christ. You have the ability to think like he thinks. You have the ability to do what he does, in the steps, as long as you're following him revelation by revelation, as long as you're walking thought by thought. You were created to have a mind just like Christ. Adam was. If we look at the original intent, if we look at what man was originally created to do, and I'm just going to give a spoiler alert, if we don't, we believe Jesus didn't do what he said he did. There's no question about it. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than his thoughts. There's no question about any of that. They will be for all of eternity, and we're going to continue to seek them and go further into them for all of eternity. I fully believe that with all that I am, but I also fully believe he never expected you to get saved and wear diapers for the rest of your life. As you think with God, as you meditate with God, as you walk with God, you grow into a maturity. I'm about to say something to you, and then I'm going to tell you something John G. Lake said, and you'll see. So, has anyone in here been a stay-at-home mom? Or worked with kids all day? And then you go and you get your first adult time, and you start asking, do you have to go to the potty? Or you try to redirect them. Or you start talking to them like a baby. Because your maturity level is different. Because you've been operating with babies and with children. And the truth is, most moms and employers and such are very hungry for adult time after a while, because they want someone that they don't have to use the word potty with. They want to be able to talk about things that they are educated about and with someone who's on their maturity level. God's purpose in the creation of mankind was to develop an association on his plane. That's what we started with, right? Otherwise, God would have been eternally living with babies or imbeciles. He would have been compelled forever to associate with those who are not able to understand or comprehend his nature, his character, or to marvel of his being or the wonder of his power. I'm just going to go ahead and say, John G. Lake said babies are imbeciles. I was just reading it. However, I would also say I agree with him. So there's that. But he created you so that you would be able to understand and comprehend his nature. That you would be able to understand and comprehend his character, who he was, his ways, his will. That you would be able to read the word of God and sense the original intent of what he created for you to be. And you would be able to walk in those things. You would be able to walk with the mind of Christ, not having to be moved to and fro by the culture or the times or the opinions or the lies or the media that just tries to shove things down your throat, or by the peer pressure that comes that says you have to be like someone else, or that says you have to accept this sin or accept that sin, or you have to be like them, or you have to accept everybody, or love looks this way, or no. All of those things are when you're just operating with an immature mind. You have to be able to hear the heart of God and follow the mind of Christ to know truth and know how to walk in what he's called you to do. The original intent of his design, and I said it this morning, but I believe it bears witness saying again, that the reason that it is attractive for the younger generation, the reason it's attractive for people who are searching, that we stand our ground, is because our truth never changes. Our truth is always in this word. Our truth is always going to be this. It's never going to change. I don't care your opinion. I don't care what you believe is right. I don't care your experience. This word is true. This word is right. And this word is what I believe. And because that's the case, I don't have to change my mind or change my news every single day. It's going to be the same today, tomorrow, and always, just as his word is. Amen? Okay. Glory to God. Step off the soapbox. So now we're going to talk about the body. And I'm really excited about this one. I literally, witness in the room, Amanda saw me, I about ran circles around Pastor's living room this morning. It was really close. I got really excited. And I told her, I'm just going to hold it. So if I start running, just follow me, okay? It'll be fine. So our body. Too often, we look at our body as it's just a thing of this world. Too often, we look at it as just almost a worldly possession. Your body was not created to be dominated by the flesh of this world or by time. Look at the original intent. In the original intent, Adam was literally clothed with glory. Psalms 8 says that it encircled him or crowned him. It was his very clothes, his very being, his very nature. Some people say that the reason he said, oh, I'm naked, is because that was his covering. An animal grows its covering how? From the inside out. When the glory was removed from man, that covering was then removed. I'm going to submit this to you. I tend to believe it. I have still working on proving it completely out, so I'm just going to be totally upfront with you. When God said that he covered man, I don't believe it was only with an animal skin. I believe there had to be additional layers added to man in order to protect him, because his clothing that wasn't just like this, his skin clothing was removed, because that's why the man was afraid. Your body was created, though, to house and hold the very presence of God. You were created to hold that life, that spirit life of God that was breathed into you. You were created to hold the very substance of God himself who would come dwell within you. You're like, Danny, I know all this. I don't see. Oh, just wait. So you are created to house and hold all of that, right? And we know that Pastor has taught us that when the former and the latter rains come, that it will come from within us and on us. So Acts 2:17 says this, right? Peter is quoting Joel, and he says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit, the spirit of life, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." This word flesh here is not just talking about mankind. It's talking about bodies. I believe I'm 100% looking at you, but just for the internet audience, how many of you believe what I said earlier? When Jesus came into this earth, he came in through the body of a baby as a man. Everyone believes that? Everyone believes that Jesus was in an earth suit and then received the Spirit of God, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, just like you and me? Okay. So Mark 9:2 says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining exceedingly white, like snow such as no launderer on earth could whiten them. In that moment, the glory of God, the life, the very life, being substance of God, flow all over his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. The glory of God was shining on his body. The ability for you to hold the glory of God is available in the earth suit that you're wearing right now. It is available for you to not just have the glory in your spirit, to not just have the mind of Christ, but for your body to be covered in the glory of God, to show like Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration. The glory of God was reflected in Jesus on that mountain, and he demonstrated two things to us: the marvelous capacity of the nature of man to receive God into his being. He also demonstrated the marvelous capacity of the nature of man to reveal God. As Acts said, Joel said, Peter said, I believe that the children of God will absolutely be witnesses, examples of the glory of God on our flesh and on our body. And the heavy substance Pastor spoke of on Sunday will be so heavy, you will be able to see with natural eyes his spirit on flesh. Your original intent was just like Adam in the garden. It was to walk around in a glory suit, to be an example, a witness of what is available. It was to receive what God has for you and to reveal it to mankind. It was to receive the life of God and to reveal it to mankind. To receive the power and reveal it to mankind. To receive the goodness and reveal it to mankind. To receive the prosperity he has for you and reveal it to mankind. To receive the divine health he has for you and to reveal it to mankind. It is not too much for you to lay your hands on someone and to see the substance of God flow out of this very body that was created to host him. When you lay your hands on someone, it's not just God at work. It's you partnered with him, working together, revealing what he has released on the inside of you already. When you walk around, you are wall-to-wall God on the inside. And until we grab a hold of that, we cannot walk in the fullness and the original intent of who he called us to be. Glory to God. Just do my little dance. So, if what I said is true, if the original intent is replicated in the end as it was in the beginning, I'll prove it to you by Scripture. Revelation 5:5-13. Then one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said to me, John, stop weeping. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root source of David, has won, has overcome, and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. And there between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, who has been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. The spirit life of God has been released back into mankind. He then went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, the Amplified Bible really makes you work, prostrated themselves before the Lamb. Each was holding a harp, a lute, or a guitar, and they had golden bowls full of incense, fragrant spices, and gums for burning, which are the prayers of God's people, the saints. And now they sing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and break the seals that are on it. For you were slain, sacrificed, and with your blood you purchased men unto God, back to God as God men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom, a royal race, reestablished as kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over all the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels on every side of the throne, and of the living creatures and the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, and they numbered 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, deserving is the Lamb who was sacrificed to receive all the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and majesty, glory and splendor and blessing. When Jesus was slain, he was able to go release the spirit of life back into all mankind. That you were not, it's not just the spirit that you pray in the spirit and you find some things out. Don't look at it like that ever again. The spirit of life is the substance of God himself flowing into your being, restoring you back to the original intent of the God-man you were created as. Amen. When Jesus came into the earth, he reestablished our original intent. He took what had been corruptible seed that was locked in time and gave to us an incorruptible seed to experience abundant life. Jesus has brought us to redemption, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus has caused us to be fully restored to who he originally created us to be. We must take our place as the God-man he created us to be and begin operating in life as he has called us to do. Today, I call you, I challenge you to receive and reveal the original intent of God. We appeal to heaven that you would align with the heavenly design that was created for your life. Father, right now, we thank you for a supernatural download of the blueprint that was created for each and every individual under the sound of my voice. We thank you, Lord, that there is a witness to them of where they need to be to align with the design, the heavenly design that you have for them. We thank you, Lord, that they see the original intent that you have for them. Father, I call this right now over Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I call them into the original intent that you have for them. I say that they will step into the call and the plan that you have for their life, that they will walk in who you've called them to be, and they will be set into their purpose in the name of Jesus. Father, I call that over each and every person who hears that, that the original intent of who they've called them to, you've called them to be, that they walk in that. And everything that they have or need to come in, Father, we call to that now. Host of heaven, we call you to go forth and bring in the harvest of what is necessary for them to fulfill the plan and will that God has for them. Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We call you blessed, we call you healed, we call you delivered, and we thank you for tuning in. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.